A man came home from work one evening and found his three children outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, with toys, empty food boxes, and wrappers strewn all around the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house, and there was no sign of the dog. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was wadded against one wall. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring a cartoon channel, and the room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilled on the counter, the fridge door was open wide, dog food covered the floor, a broken glass lay under the table, and handfuls of rocks and dirt were spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over more toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried that she might be ill or something serious might have happened. He was met with a small trickle of water as it made its way out the bathroom door. As he peered inside, he saw wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys strewn over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste covered the mirror and walls. As he rushed to the bedroom, he found his wife, curled up in bed, still in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled and asked how his day went. He looked back at her, completely bewildered, and said, "What happened here today?" She smiled again and answered, "You know every day when you come home from work and you ask me what I do all day?" "Yes," he said, growing impatient. "Well," she said with a twinkle in her eye, "today I didn't do it." Well, girls, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the instructions found for women in Titus chapter 2. And today we come to the place where it says we are to be sensible. And that includes how we use our time and how we manage our time as we take on our responsibilities. And so last fall, when I began to look into this whole idea of time management, the first thing I discovered is that there have been hundreds of books and articles written on the subject. And I also found that there are many, many styles of how we plan our days and organize our time. In fact, the so-called experts who wrote all those books and articles say that there are actually various personality types when it comes to managing time. For instance, some people are what we might call firefighters. These people don't really plan ahead, but they are reactionary. They just go from crisis to crisis, putting out fires. And at the end of the day, they feel like they've been successful if the house is still standing and no one is seriously injured. Then there's the person who's the overachiever, the type A personality. They might even be a perfectionist. This person plans extensively. And unlike the firefighters, they're not chance takers. They're planners. They like their ducks in a row and everything to be in control. And not surprisingly, they're probably able to juggle a lot of things and make it look easy. Next, there's the superhero. This person tends to put other people's needs and priorities ahead of their own, and therefore they have the inability to say no. And so they find themselves rescuing everyone and every event, whether it's with their family, at their children's school, at church, or in the neighborhood. And they are therefore over-involved and over-committed, even to the point of exhaustion. And then we find the person that just kind of lets life happen to them. They happily go through their day with no plans, no commitments, and no achievements. Rather, they thrive on spontaneity, spending time on the next fun thing that someone suggests, convinced that me time is vital to their health and well-being. And then there's the classic procrastinator. These people have lists and they have good intentions, but they also have a habit of putting off till tomorrow what should be done today. So they're always working under pressure, and things just kind of pile up on them until it becomes overwhelming. And of course, we can't forget about the sluggard, the lazy person who has no intentions of planning anything, let alone doing anything. Lastly, there's the woman in the story that I read at the beginning. It would seem that on most days she did pretty well. But on this particular day, she decided to hit the pause button. She just wanted to put time on hold. And she seemed pretty happy about it. But of course, we know that time stands still for no one. And I believe at some point she probably regretted her decision because she no doubt would have been the one who had to clean up that awful mess. Well, girls, we could go on and on with this because it's likely that if you're like me, you've tried one or more of these methods at one time or another, or even something I didn't mention, depending on the day or the season of life. But our lesson this morning is not about trying to fit all of us into doing things in a certain way. See, each of us here is different than the person next to us. We have a different personality, different skills and abilities, different preferences, different circumstances, different people and different things for which we're responsible. And so we're all going to organize our time and plan our work in different ways. And so our lesson this morning is about why we should be good managers of our time rather than how we go about it. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret here if you promise not to tell anyone. I started working on this lesson. I've been working on it off and on for about 6 months. But actually, this lesson's been working on me as it's revealed my motives and how I spend my time on a daily basis. See, ladies, if we're like some of the people I just described and we're not using our time well, then the actual problem may be that as women who know the Bible and believe what Scripture says, we may be failing to look at our time from a biblical perspective. So let's start with time itself. We all know that every single person on this planet has 24 hours in each day. And since God created the world that way, I think we're pretty safe in saying that it's the perfect amount of time for us, 24 hours. Did you know that comes out to 1,440 minutes every single day? That seems like a lot. In addition to that, God has determined how long our lifespan will be. Each of us has a limited number of those 24-hour days. And some of us will have a lot of days and some of us will have less. But again, according to God's perfect sovereign plan, it's just the right number of days for each of us individually to do all the things that God intends for us to do. So my point is this: how much time we have isn't an issue. Now, we may have said, boy, I wish I had more time in my day or more days in my week. But we have all the time we need to do all that God intends for us to do. But you know, the clock keeps ticking and the days roll by, never to be lived again. So logic tells us that how we spend those minutes and how we use those days matters. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, Moses is writing about God's eternality. Carrie taught through that last fall when we were looking at God's attributes. And in the opening verses of this psalm, Moses contrasts the eternal God to human beings and our finite time on this earth. So in that context, we come to verse 12 of Psalm 90, where Moses is praying this. He says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Moses' prayer was that God would teach us how to evaluate the use of our time in light of the brevity of life. See, Moses rightly saw this as wisdom, skillfully living out our lives in a God-honoring way in light of the fact that life is brief. Moses was well aware that time for us is a limited commodity. We could even say that time is priceless. You know, in the business world, they say time is money, and that's certainly true. Attorneys and accountants charge their clients by the time they spend on their accounts. Contractors bid jobs partially based on the man hours it will take to complete a project. People trade their time and skills for a paycheck. So in the business world, you can exchange time for money. But no matter how much money you have, you can never buy more time. Only God can give us time because it's a gift from Him. But you know, as I think about all of that, I'm not really sure that's how we look at our time on a day-in, day-out basis. When we get up in the morning, do we really think the hours I have before me are a gift from God? Do we see those hours as something priceless? Do we consider how we spend those hours and minutes is a statement of on whether or not we are wise? I honestly can't say those thoughts cross my mind very often, but that's exactly what Moses is praying for here in Psalm 90. See, I kind of think that how we plan our day and organize our time may be as simple as how we view our time. So instead of saying time management, what if I say time stewardship? Does that change the way any of you look at it? It does for me. See, when I think of the word stewardship, my mind automatically goes to the parable of the talents recorded in the book of Matthew. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 25. And rather than assuming that we're all familiar with this passage, let's just read through this parable. Matthew 25, and we'll begin in verse 14. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and handed over his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed 5 talents over to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you handed 2 talents over to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Therefore, you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Now, ladies, this analogy isn't going to parallel perfectly, but stick with me for a minute. So in this parable, as we just read, a man goes on a journey, and before he leaves, he gives talents to 3 different slaves. Now, a talent was a weight, maybe of silver or gold, and it was a large amount of money. And it says that each slave was given according to their ability to handle that amount of wealth. The parable goes on to show what each slave did with what they had been entrusted. And the point of the parable is how they handled this item of great value was a picture of their faithfulness to their master. Well, in the same way, the Lord has entrusted each of us with time. Now, we may have varying degrees of responsibilities, but we all have a stewardship over the time that God has given us. And again, time is a valuable resource, and there's only so much of it, and it can't be replaced. And how we spend our time, how we invest our time, demonstrates our faithfulness to the one who has entrusted us with the time we have. But I want you to also note that the second point of the parable is wasted opportunity. The slave who hid the talent in the ground wasted his opportunity, not only to show faithfulness to his master, but also to do something of value with what he had been entrusted. And girls, that can be true for us as well when it comes to how we invest our time. We can use our time wisely, or we can waste it. But we have to be aware that just like the slaves in the parable, we too will give an account to our master for how we handled our time. So working from this premise that the time we have been given is a stewardship for which we are responsible, let's dig deeper. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In the book of Ephesians, Paul follows a pattern similar to his other epistles. Chapters 1 through 3 are doctrinal, as Paul tells us what it is to be a Christian. And then in chapters 4 through 6, it's the practical part of the book, how we are to live that out. In chapters 4 and 5, he uses the word walk 5 times, indicating what our daily manner of living should be as those who have believed in Christ. For instance, in Ephesians 4:1, he says that we are to walk worthy of our calling. So our daily lives should match who we are in Christ. In Ephesians 5:8, he said we should walk as children of light. So again, how we live on a daily basis is to reflect the transformation from the darkness of sin into the light of salvation. Now skip down to verse 15 of Ephesians 5, and this is the passage we're going to focus on. Notice he uses the word walk here again. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. On account of this, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, if I were to summarize these three verses in one sentence, I would say this. We are to maximize our time in order to live to our full God-honoring potential in Christ, because that's how wise people live. But you know, girls, this passage also indicates in verse 17 that if we don't live that way, we risk being foolish. John MacArthur said this, "I am convinced that man plays the fool with time and opportunity more than he plays the fool in any other thing. That's the greatest category of foolishness, the misuse of time and opportunity." And girls, he was talking about this passage as it relates to believers. Now, that's quite a statement. So each of us will choose on a daily basis, and even several times a day, if we use our time wisely or if we foolishly squander it. So let's look closer at this passage in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. The first thing we see there is that we are to walk in wisdom. Now, that's not talking about brain power or intellect. It's talking about godly wisdom. And the definition for wisdom is a practical, God-centered skill for living righteously. But you know, we often think of wisdom as something that comes with age. And yet, even the youngest or newest believer can be wise. In fact, as believers, we're accountable to be wise, because if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we already have everything we need to live wisely. Colossians 2:3 says, "In Christ himself are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And the book of Proverbs tells us over and over that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So as believers in Christ, we already have all we need to live wisely as we learn to apply God's word to our lives. So the first thing is we're to walk wisely. Now look at verse 15 again. We see that we are to be careful to walk wisely. That means to walk accurately, attentively, and with exactness. As believers, we aren't to flip-flop, lollygag, or stroll through the Christian life. We have serious business to do. Instead, we are to walk with intention and precision, carefully looking at each step. And so, when I see that, I have to stop here and ask myself, is that how I walk? Is that how I live on a daily basis? Or do I just kind of mosey through the day, letting the chips fall wherever they fall, using my time aimlessly, even haphazardly? Now, to be sure, I'm not saying that we all have to be that type A overachiever when it comes to time stewardship. Not at all. We aren't all built that way. But in order to walk wisely, we do need to be intentional, careful to watch our steps as we invest our time, and as we make decisions throughout our day, weighing out, is this good? Is it better? Or is it best in how we choose to use our time? Okay, moving on to verse 16. In the Legacy Standard Bible, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think the NASB says making the most of your time. But that word redeeming, where it says redeeming the time, that means to buy back or to reclaim. So to redeem the time means to use time wisely, especially in a spiritual sense, by valuing it for activities of greater spiritual significance and making the most of every opportunity God gives us. It involves being mindful of life's brevity, avoiding waste, and making choices that have eternal value. So let's just pause here for a moment. If I am to make choices in how I carry out my responsibilities and manage my time, if I am to make choices that have eternal value and greater spiritual significance, does that mean all of my time needs to be spent under the roof of this building doing ministry? Or out evangelizing on the street? Or teaching my children memory verses, or in prayer and Bible study, or having neighbors in at Christmas time to share the gospel? Well, no, all of our time does not need to be spent doing those things in order to have spiritual significance or eternal value. Some of it should be, but there are other things that have eternal value. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, we have the theme verses for this ministry. And again, we've been looking at those verses and what's said there over the last several weeks. We probably all have that passage memorized. But in that passage, there are timeless instructions for us as women that have eternal value that don't involve ministry at church. Things like loving our husbands and loving our children, caring for their needs, keeping our homes, being sensible, pure, and so forth. Those things all have eternal value. At the end of verse 5 of Titus 2, it tells us what the eternal value is. It says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Girls, our obedience in these areas honors God and His word. That is to be our motive. That in carrying out these responsibilities and being good stewards of our time, we honor God and His word. In addition, Proverbs 31 is the quintessential passage on the godly wife and mother who runs her home well. Nothing in that passage says she sang in the choir, or worked in the nursery, or served up lunches for funerals at church. Rather, that passage tells us that she cared for her home and her family well, and those things had spiritual significance. So how does that play out in our daily lives? Well, rocking a sick baby, making a meal for your family, doing the laundry, buying groceries, driving your children to school, homeschooling your children, taking a meal to a neighbor, supporting yourself by going to work each day as a single woman. All of those things can have eternal value if they are done with the right motive in obedient response to God's will for our lives. That's Titus 2. Those responsibilities are God's will for our lives. Okay, now let's look again at verse 16 of Ephesians 5. It says, redeeming the time for the day because the days are evil. The word Paul uses here for time isn't talking about the ticking clock or turning pages on a calendar. The word for time here means eras or epochs or opportunities. So we need to redeem, we need to buy back, make the most of the moments, the opportunities that can be grasped for good, for God and for good and for glory to Him. That should always be at the front of our minds as we plan our day. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Continuing on in verse 16, Paul says, because the days are evil. Girls, we live in a fallen world, saturated with sin, moral darkness, and spiritual opposition to God. That's why we're called to redeem our time. It's why we need to be careful to walk wisely. In fact, verse 17 tells us we are not to be foolish, but we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. So in the context of verses 15 through 17, the will of the Lord is for us to make the best use of the time God has given us. See, girls, being good stewards of our time is a spiritual battle, just like almost everything else in our lives. And if we miss that, then we miss the whole point of being good stewards of our time in the first place. It's all about pleasing God, all of it. And we have to take that seriously because I don't think any of us want to surrender that part of the battle to the enemy. Now, look again in verse 16 at that phrase, the days are evil. That phrase also implies that the time is short and therefore opportunities to do good, to serve Christ, and to fulfill God's will should be seized before they pass us by. This is a call to live strategically and intentionally in a world that works against righteousness as we treat our time as a valuable resource rather than wasting it. Think back to the parable of the talents. The master was not pleased with the slave who wasted the opportunity he had been given. See, just as we saw in Psalm 90, we need to be aware that we have limited time and limited privileges in this life. If we don't walk wisely now, if we don't live to glorify God now, we don't have any other time to do that. All we have is now. That's it. So if I lose this moment, I'll never be back here again. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, and let's look at verse 9. It says, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. So this is saying that if we're lazy, procrastinating, or just letting opportunities slip past us, we don't just lose the opportunity God has placed before us, but we actually destroy it, since we can never regain lost time. That certainly puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? Now turn over a page or two to Proverbs chapter 20. And look at verse 4. The sluggard does not plow from winter on, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Well, here's our friend the sluggard again. But you know, maybe I'm not a sluggard all the time. Maybe I'm just a sluggard in the afternoons, or just till 10 in the morning when I've had my coffee. Or maybe I'm pretty diligent for a few days, and then I have some days that are disorganized and sluggish. Well, girls, anytime we're being lazy or procrastinating, we're losing opportunities that can never be redeemed. We're destroying moments that we'll never be able to regain. Now, to be sure, I'm not talking about resting. We all need rest. I'm not saying that we need to work like a dog from sunup to sundown. Sleep and rest are good and necessary. Exercise and taking care of our body is good and necessary. And there should be time for fun with your families too. But excess sleep and rest, or seeking constant entertainment, or mindless scrolling, is wasting time and opportunity when we could be doing something that God says is valuable. See, girls, we want to be walking wisely, making the most of the time we have to bring glory to God while we still have the time to do that. Okay, so as we think about these passages in Proverbs and the verses we looked at in Ephesians, the first question that comes to my mind is this. If life is brief, and it is, if opportunities are few, and they are, shouldn't a sense of urgency rule over us? Shouldn't we be constantly aware of how brief life is, how limited our time is, how few the opportunities are? And even if we do begin to see our time with this sense of urgency, are we aware that there are constant adjustments we have to make in various stages of our life that when it comes to being good stewards of our time? You know, some of you here are newly married, just getting your feet wet and figuring out how to organize your time and fulfill your Titus II responsibilities. Some of you are new moms, and that era of life certainly adds new wrinkles to time stewardship. Some are in that intermediate stage where your kids are involved with school activities and church activities and sports, and you're just trying to figure out how to have some family meals together. On the other hand, some of us here have been married since Nixon was president, or even longer, and we've learned to make adjustments through the years, figuring out how to manage our time as our nests emptied, or maybe as we cared for aging parents, or again, as our husbands retired. Some of you are single and you may have to juggle full-time work, caring for your home and fitting in ministry and family obligations. Life can be busy no matter what stage of life we're in, but we're still responsible to be good stewards of our time God has given us. We don't outgrow that. And that doesn't go away just because our circumstances change. We always need to see our opportunities as few and our time as brief. You know, girls, as humans, we are utterly bound by time in this life. We live by the clock and the calendar. For God, time is irrelevant. He lives above time, beyond time. Psalm 90, verse 4 says this about God. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. So time does not affect the eternal God. But that's not true for us. Time rules our lives. And if you look at a headstone in a cemetery, it has a birth date and a death date. Both of those dates have been sovereignly appointed by God. And the only thing we can take with us into eternity is what we did between those two dates that brought glory to Him. That's it. We're not packing up the U-Haul and taking all our prized possessions to heaven. So grabbing the opportunities we have now and making the most of the time we have should be a priority. And so, girls, in light of all this, the fact that life is brief, that opportunities are few, that we are accountable before God to use our time wisely, how are we redeeming the time God has given us? How are we investing our time? How are we being good stewards of our time on a daily basis? As we begin to wrap up, I came up with 5 suggestions for us to use as a springboard to launch us on our way to being good stewards of our time. So let's just go through these quickly. First of all, remember the word privilege. We need to remember that it's our privilege to glorify God with our lives, including how we steward our time. A couple of weeks ago, Nancy told us that because we were created in God's image, glorifying Him is our primary purpose. She said we should see every one of our actions as capable of producing glory to Him. Secondly, pray. Ask God to show you where you're wasting time, missing opportunities, and maybe even focusing on selfish desires instead of what God has clearly laid out as His will for wives, mothers, and even single women. You can even pray Moses' prayer that we read in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, that God will impress on your heart the brevity of life so that you will present to Him a heart of wisdom. Third, prioritize. What are your priorities, and do they line up with what God says about the role of women? If you're married, you could discuss this with your husband. He may want some input here. To start you off, I've laid out the priorities listed in Titus 2. Loving God and following after Him with a whole heart. That's our foundation. That's a prerequisite. Then, loving, helping, and serving my husband. Loving, teaching, and disciplining my children. Loving and caring for my home in order to provide a quality of life for my family. Developing myself so that I have something to give to others. And then loving and serving God's people. Fourth, practice. Put those priorities into practice. This is where the rubber meets the road. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:9, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." Girls, we need to put into practice the things we learn. But a word of caution here. Know that as soon as you begin to base your daily time management on these priorities, something will come up that will put your plan into a tailspin. Be ready for that and don't get discouraged. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. Read Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God, dig in your heels, and put on your game face. Fifth, pray. Keep praying about this. Keep examining yourself to see if you are aiming at meeting your priorities as you go through your day or week. Remember, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to be efficient and organized with your time. He wants you to redeem your time, to invest your time in things that matter for eternity. And again, yes, those daily tasks do matter for eternity. And then continue to ask God to reveal opportunities He has given you to use for His glory. As we close, I just want to say this. We don't live in the past. If you've made mistakes, let them go. We also can't live in the future. All we have is right now. The opportunity is in our hands today. Our Master has entrusted us with a limited amount of time, something valuable, even priceless. How will we handle this stewardship? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, for Your work in our lives, Lord, for the salvation that You have provided us through Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, that, Lord, by faith we are brought into Your family, that we are brought into a sisterhood in Christ. Lord, what a treasure and a blessing that is. I thank You for the instructions You give us in Titus chapter 2, Lord, that You have laid out clearly what our role as women is to be, and, Lord, that we would take those charges that are in that passage seriously and apply them to our lives. Lord, I thank You for the time that You've given to us. I pray that we would see that as a gift and that we would use that wisely. I pray that we would take advantage of the opportunities You've given us. Lord, that we would learn to be good stewards of our time, that we would not be wasters of our time. And ultimately, Lord, the things that we do on a daily basis, Lord, that our goal would be to glorify You. I thank You for this group of ladies. Lord, I thank You for this ministry. And I just pray, Lord, as we break for the summer, that we would take the lessons that we've learned this year home with us and that we would be growing in respect to our salvation, Lord, that it might bring You honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.